The expert in the whole presentation, right?
Yes, I'm an expert. Yeah, so unfortunately, Emily, with our team at the Minnesota Department of Health, became ill once she arrived here in Boise, so she was unable to present today, but I work closely with her. We're both in the cardiovascular health unit as EPIs. Emily's primary role is to serve as the collector and reporter of all performance measure data for our 1305 and 1422 grants across all domains. So I'm going to talk a little bit today about our method for collecting data on the hypertension performance measures. So I think all of us understand here in this room that public health and health systems are really starting to overlap. CDC is asking us to work more closely together. This integration really is going to require us to have more data to effectively talk about how the delivery and use of clinical preventive services is changing. So the objective of our work here was to collect clinical data on hypertension to respond to CDC's performance measures for the 1305 and 1422 grants. And like Maine, we don't call 1422 1422. We actually call it the community wellness grant. That's much easier for our partners to understand. Oops, I went the wrong direction here. So we don't have any existing state-level source for clinical data for patients with hypertension. So our solution really was to work directly with clinics to collect those data. So we ended up collecting four particular performance measures. Controlling high blood pressure, or the nationally endorsed NQF-18 measure, is the only one that there was a standard definition existing that we used. We developed three additional measures, one around undiagnosed hypertension or hypertension awareness, the presence of hypertension self-management plans for individuals in clinical systems, and whether or not those individuals were getting referrals to evidence-based lifestyle change programs. We ended up modifying a previously piloted clinical measure set that we had tested with a group of clinics in northern Minnesota. Those clinics had been working around the domains of hypertension, obesity, tobacco use, and prediabetes. And we ended up developing a detailed data guide for clinics that outlined the population definition for these measures, which, easily enough, was all adult patients, and a description of the 49 requested data elements we needed in order to calculate the performance measures for reporting to CDC and for our own purposes. This request included information on race, ethnicity, language, country of origin, and insurance status for us to do disparities analyses. They de-identified the patient-level data and submitted it directly to us at the State Health Department through a secure portal as a CSV file. This is an example of what the data guide looks like for clinics, and there are 49 individual components that they report to us. But basically, we indicate the column name, what the field name is, provide a lot of notes in there about what is the purpose of that measure, and an example of what might be provided, and then whether or not it's a numeric or a character variable. These are the four local public health areas we decided to work with as part of 1422, our community wellness grant, three grantees in Greater Minnesota and the city of Minneapolis. And we ended up, for this, what I'm going to talk about here today, recruiting 15 different clinic grantees from these four regions, and there were 25 individual clinics I'll show you data on. This is from the 2015 dates of service, so the first year that we collected data, representing over 75,000 adult patients. And in this group, about 36% of the patients that reported had diagnosed hypertension in the medical record. So here is the age and sex distribution for our patients. Our patients tended to be a bit older than the state as a whole, not surprising. We had a fairly large discordance between female and male gender in the patients that were reported. And we also had a fairly large number of individuals who were on public programs, 21% state-funded, Minnesota Medicaid, 29% on Medicare. The clinic population was also a bit more diverse than the state's population as a whole. We had about 10% of our patients were Black non-Hispanic, 6% Hispanic, 3% Asian, 3% American Indian. 8% of our patients were not English speakers at home, and almost 12% were foreign-born. So in order to calculate the measure, we really had to get support within the clinic. They had to have the capacity to develop the appropriate EHR reports and data extracts to provide all of those requested data elements to us. The measures that we could calculate from the submitted data that we received from all clinics were the controlling high blood pressure, this nationally endorsed NQF-18 measure, and the undiagnosed hypertension measure. So these are the results for the controlling high blood pressure measure. I'd like to say that we were the local public health grantees were really targeting clinics that needed a lot of help, but really it's really begging clinics to participate in a program. So we ended up getting some high performers as part of this work as well. Overall, 75% of the patients with hypertension were in control. And we saw that it improved with age, which is something that's not uncommon to see. The undiagnosed hypertension, which is the first time we'd really calculated this measure, and clinics were really thinking about undiagnosed hypertension. When we saw that, especially in that younger age group, more than a third of individuals who were potentially hypertensives had no diagnosis in their clinical record. When you look at the same information by insurance status, we can see that Medicare patients, of course, the oldest patients did the best, the uninsured patients did the worst, and that's especially true of very, very strong gradation when you look at the undiagnosed hypertension measure. What should be noted is that a large proportion of the uninsured patients were being seen at federally qualified health centers in the city of Minneapolis, which may be a very different population than we were seeing at clinics in the greater Minnesota sites. And when you look by race and ethnicity, we see the best blood pressure control rates were actually in our Hispanic population, significantly better than whites and Asians. And the worst performance was in our African-American population, again, largely concentrated in federally qualified health centers in Minneapolis. The undiagnosed hypertension rate was sort of the inverse here. Again, the highest uncontrolled or undiagnosed hypertension rates in African-Americans and FQHCs. So I think the general lessons that we learned out of this is that some types of data are much easier for clinics to extract than others. It's very easy for them to pull a structured data element, like a diagnosis or a vital sign, out of their record, no matter which EHR system they're using. It was a bit more challenging for things like lab results or medications who could be in the notes or in a structured data field. And we found it very difficult to get information from clinics on unstructured data, like follow-up plans, whether or not there was any sort of counseling, and whether there was a referral done to a community-based program. The clinics varied greatly in their ability to report these data to us. Some of that was the technical capacity. Did they have the reporting tools in place with the EHR that they were using? Do they have to go back to the EHR vendor in order to get a specialized report generated? Were they contracting with a larger health system to run their EHR data for them, for whom may not be a high priority for that one small clinic in rural Minnesota to send that data to the state? And, you know, that reporting infrastructure includes, do they have the bodies on site to be able to do that work? And how does it fit within the priority of the health organization to report some voluntary data to the state health department? So we found for us at the health department itself, working with those individual clinics was very resource intensive. Like I said, clinics have many competing priorities. These are not mandated data, and that's what goes to the top of the list, obviously, for them. The things that we found to be the most successful in getting buy-in and getting good data back from those clinics was making sure that we had clearly defined data elements. The data guide was very much appreciated by clinics. They had seen a style like that before for some of the other reporting that they do. We were providing technical assistance on a one-to-one basis with the reporting staff at the clinic, and we made sure we did that at the project start before they had fully committed to engaging in the project with us. We tried to be as flexible as possible, but obviously not too flexible about what data they could provide to us. That was especially true for things that were coming out of unstructured data elements. How are you pulling something out of the notes field in order to report to us? And I think the really key piece here was we need to be able to provide summary reports back to them and talk about these data that they're giving to us in a population health lens, talk about the communities they're serving. That helped to engage them with us. So I think in conclusion, we all know EHR data has some great potential public health use. But without a central repository like a health information exchange, and Minnesota is one of those states, we really have to turn directly to those individual clinics to acquire these data. It increases the burden on both the health department and the participating clinics, and you really have to establish what is the value to the clinic and the health system when you work with them. We need to help them overcome that burden. One way we did that was trying to align the reporting requirements for these grants with existing priorities within those clinical systems. Sometimes we would provide funding to help compensate for that work, to pay for that person's 20% time for that week that they were going to be generating the reports and send to us. It was really valuable, especially in small rural sites. And we have expertise in interpreting these data, and we did a lot of that, helping those clinics understand how those data talk about the community they're serving. So thank you.